Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I need somebody to help praise him with me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Well, praise God. I know we were supposed to shout in that song, but hallelujah. Glory to God. All right, praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, tonight, hallelujah, I want to start. This is part one of a 365 part. Everyday message that we need to preach to ourselves on having a Bible-based self-worth. Bible-based self-worth. If you got your Bible, I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 1. You know, so many people, Christians in our day, ministers even, taking their own lives, living depressed, oppressed. Not knowing, you know, how they're going to make it through the day. And amen. I mean, the cares of life come against everybody, and all of us deal with that. But surely what Jesus has done is greater than all of that. And so I want us to look tonight at some verses and help. Like I said, this is a 365 lesson. For the rest of, you know, for another year, then start over again. Every day we need to preach to ourselves concerning our Bible-based self-worth. Now, how, in order to do that, we've got to go back and realize we're created on purpose. Now, you know, I realize this society and education wants to try to tell us that there is no creator. That man is a result of a climatic big bang of some kind that took place and matter slammed into matter. And after something else mattered, here we are, you know. And if that's the case, then none of what we're talking about has no bearing on life. But if we believe the Bible, and there's no reason not to, if we believe the Bible, then we have to understand that God had a purpose for creating us. And so let's go back to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image. The word God there is Elohim. It's the plural word of God. In other words, not just El for God, but Elohim. Who's he talking about? We aren't creating the image of angels, right? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. The Godhead said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. Now, we have a lot of evidence there from what is said that God created mankind to rule over and have dominion in this earth that he had created. Who did he create it for? Evidently, man. He did everything, created everything, and then in the last that he did, he created man and placed us on the earth to rule over the earth, to have dominion over the earth, and to populate this earth with people made in the image of God, in his image. All right? We're not in the angelic class. We're in the God. We are God. God created after God in his class. Now, I didn't say we were God, but we're created after God. Amen. Now, chapter 2 and verse 7, he goes on here to say, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So when we put these two together, we realize God created us in his image. And then the image of God, that includes not only our body here on that he made out of this earth. This body's of this earth, right? We know that. But he took that body and he breathed into or put into that body his life, the life of God, placed inside of that man. No other creature has the life of God in it. All right? Animals don't have the life of God. They have a life, but it's not the life of God. Angels don't have the life of God. We have the very life of God in us, which would include his nature, all that has to do with God. Well, we know what happened to man. Man rebelled against God, disobeyed God. And God said, in the day that you do, that you would eat of this, you will surely die. Now, man didn't cease to exist that day, but that life, he forfeited that life. Amen. But thank God through Jesus Christ, he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. In Christ, we have that. But I want us to look at Psalm 8. Here are the psalmists. This is a psalm of David. But it's almost, you know, you can see him, but you almost, you know, would wonder maybe an angelic being of some sort or some type of created beings looking at God's creation. Of course, this is the psalm that the song, How Great Thou Art, is taken from. But he says here in verse 4, Psalm 8, 4, what is man? This is a question that we need to answer. What are you? Who are you? Created in the image of God, filled with his life and his likeness. Amen? Who is man that you are, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visited him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels. Interesting, that word angels is the word Elohim. Once again. Literally made a little lower than God himself. And has crowned him with glory and honor. Amen. Crowned with glory and honor. Crowned. The word there, glory, carries with the idea of being honorable, but also to have dignity. And honor carries with the idea of worth. It's something that's worth something. He's crowned us with dignity and worth. God created man to be a carrier of dignity. Excuse me. To be a carrier of worth. Not just crown, but when God put that breath in us, he gave us that glory and honor on the inside. The Voice translation in verse 5 says, but you placed the Son of Man just beneath God and honored him like royalty, crowning him with glory and honor. The Passion translation says, yet what honor you have given to men, created only a little lower than Elohim, crowned like kings and queens with glory and magnificence. You are a magnificent being. You are a glorious being. And God has created us to live a life crowned with dignity and worth that comes from him. That can only come from him. Amen? Now you know, ever since Adam sinned in the garden, mankind has been trying to define themselves. Trying to find themselves, trying to figure out who they are, trying to figure out, you know, how do I think about myself? How do I relate? But if you do it outside of God, you'll never figure it out. You cannot find out who you are outside of God. Because he's the one who created you. In order to understand, we've got to go back to creation to understand this. That's why we started here. But I want us to go to John chapter 4. Now listen, tonight, I'm just getting this started, okay? You understand that. But we're going to get somewhere tonight. Are you ready to get somewhere? We're going to get somewhere tonight. I'm going to read quite a bit of scripture as we go here and let the scripture do some talking for us. Here, Jesus, I want to pick up in verse 5 of John chapter 4. Then came he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, or Sychar, or however how you want to pronounce it, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus said unto her, "Give me to drink." For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, "How is that you, being a Jew, ask drink of me, who am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." Now the reason that is because the Samaritans were of Jews and the Gentiles married together. And they worshiped the same God, but the Jews counted them as half-breeds, if you will. All right? Religion always going to make you divide yourself from others. And religion always says, our way is the only way. The only thing the only way is, Jesus, I am the way. If you're not coming through him, then I don't know what else you can do. But be careful if people say it's our way or no way. Because Paul said we know in part. And see, and nobody knows it all. Look at your neighbor and say, "See it, I told you, you didn't know it all." Some of you husbands and wives enjoying that too much. Now come on back here. Verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, "If you knew the gift of God, who it is that said to you, 'Give me to drink,' you would have asked of him, and he would have given you living water." Here's that life again. Living water. The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From where then have you this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle?" Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinks of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Everlasting life. I want to stop here and we'll go back. But I want to read this from the Voice translation here, verse 13. Verse 13. "Drink this water and your thirst is quenched only for a moment. You must return to this well again and again. Whosoever," he says in verse 13, King James, "whosoever drinks of this water shall thirst again." The Voice brings out, "You must return to this well again and again." Now let's go on to verse 15. "The woman said unto him, 'Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw.' Jesus said to her, 'Go call your husband and come here.' The woman answered and said, 'I have no husband.' Jesus said to her, 'You have well said, I have no husband. For you've had five husbands, and he whom you now have is not your husband, in that you said truly.'" Now verse 14 in the Amplified Bible, I like this, says, "But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never," no, never, say never, never. "So, no, never be thirsty anymore." Hallelujah. But he said, if you drink of this water, Jesus talking about drink from the water that's of this natural realm, to drink of this water that doesn't come from me, you're going to thirst again and again. And you got to keep on drinking. You take a drink and you're thirsty again. You take a drink and you're thirsty again. And you've got to keep returning to get that drink. Now I want to parallel that with trying to satisfy your self-worth with any other source from the well of water that's in you. Jesus said to her, "Woman, go call your husband." And she said, "Oh, I don't have a husband." He said, "You spoke well." He said, "You've had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband." What's she doing? She's going back. She's drinking again and again, trying to satisfy that feeling, that lack of worth on the inside of her that she feels. She's replacing it with something from this natural, trying to get that feeling satisfied. And it can never happen, folks. You can't satisfy it with friendships. You can't get enough friends. Now, you can find friends that help you, but you can't have enough. It can't be, "Well, you know, if I can just get 5,000 friends on Facebook, if I can just get 10,000 followers on Instagram, if I can just get this, then I'll be satisfied. I will have arrived. I will know that I'm somebody." You're going to have to drink again. You're going to have to drink again. You have to find something else to drink now. "Oh, we better get on Twitter now. Oh, got to get on Twitter. Oh, that's not, oh, better drink again." You can't satisfy it with friendship. You can't satisfy it with relationships. We got the world, this world is so confused. So confused. We got women trying to satisfy that for self-worth with women, men with men, men with children, women with children. I mean, we got all kinds of crazy things going on in this world, trying to satisfy that need, that emptiness on the inside of them for acceptance and self-worth. You're going to have to drink again. You're going to have to drink again. You know, it's kind of like the saying, you know, you look it up in the Urban Dictionary, and it says, you know, it means whatever it is you're after, the thirst is real. It's real. This thirst for self-worth, it's real, folks. It's in us because God created us with dignity and worth, and man has lost that, and we're looking for it. But you can't do it through friendships. You can't do it through relationships. You can't do it through religious activity. Should we come to church? Absolutely. Should we give? Absolutely. Should we pray? Absolutely. Should we read our Bible? Absolutely. But you can't do any of that enough to satisfy this thirst. Because you're going to have to drink again. Is there another service I can find to go to? Well, I prayed an hour, maybe 2 hours now I got to pray. Well, I read the whole New Testament. I better read the whole Bible now. Again. On my knees, on one knee, on one foot. Amen. You can't satisfy this thirst with education. She had five husbands and one that wasn't her husband. I'm going to do six too here. Education. Well, I got, you know, if I can just get that degree, if I can just get that, then that'll, you're going to need another one. You will never, ever feel that from the outside. Nothing wrong with getting a degree. Nothing wrong with education. Nothing wrong with that at all. But you realize none of these things can fill it. You can't fill it with a job. Have you ever noticed if you ask people about themselves, they tell you what they do? Well, tell me about yourself. Well, I'm a this, or I do that, or I work here. I didn't ask you that. Tell me about you. Why? Because we've been trained by the world system to define ourselves by our performance. See, performance-based self-worth will never last. You've got to thirst again. Because there comes a time. I know, you know, this was hard. I'll never forget when the time came that my athletic career was over. And it's over for, it gets a time for everybody. You know, ain't nobody knocking down Michael Jordan's door wanting him to come play anymore. He's done. His career's over. Now, he may think in his mind, like all of us do, we could still do it. He can't do it. Not against, no. He's too old. Can he go out there and still shoot? Oh, yeah. Probably beat all of us in one-on-one, you know. But he can't play with those guys 82 games a year. Come on. See, there comes a time when it's over. What are you going to do? You have to drink again, I guess. See, your job, you can't define yourself by your job. And then, of course, you can never define yourself by the stuff that you got, your possessions. Possessions cannot define me. Look at Proverbs chapter 23. I'm going to read this from the Living Bible. Taylor's paraphrase. You doing all right? All right. Getting quiet on me. That's all right. I used to be a youth pastor. They don't amen ever, so I'm good. I never had anyone say, amen, Brother Tad, preach it. That's good preaching. Never. And I was doing good preaching. So I don't need it. It's all right. Proverbs 23:29. I'm going to read there to the end of the chapter. He asks this question, whose heart is filled with anguish and sorrow? Who's always fighting and quarreling? Who is the man with bloodshot eyes and many wounds? It's the one who spends long hours in taverns trying out new mixtures. Now listen, he's talking about alcohol here, but I'm talking about this thirst, trying to drink, trying to find something to drink to get that self-worth, because this applies here. See, always trying to find a new mixture. Don't let the sparkle and smooth taste of strong wine deceive you. For in the end, it bites like a poisonous serpent. It stings like an adder. You will see hallucinations and have delirium tremens. Tremors, I guess. Tremens, he says, but tremors, I think it is. You will say foolishly, you will say foolish, silly things that would embarrass you to no end when sober. You'll stagger like a sailor tossed at sea, clinging to a swaying mast. And afterward, you will say, I didn't even know when they beat me up. Let's go have another drink. That's a description of trying to live without a Bible-based self-worth. You're always looking for the next shiny thing, the next smooth tasting drink, something that's going to get me to where I feel good about myself. Because, get quite honest with you, most people and a lot of Christians hate themselves. Because we don't know who we are. We don't know how, first of all, how God created us to be and how valuable we are that he sent his son to shed his blood. The most precious thing, the holy blood of Jesus that ever existed on this earth was shed to purchase you. And that God has decided before we ever created mankind to love mankind no matter what mankind did. And so that God has taken the performance equation out of the picture when it comes to having a relationship with him. And we're staggering around, letting the world beat us up, and we go right back to it for another drink. But we don't have to. I got good news for you tonight. Glory to God. Look at John chapter 5. Jesus knew this. He makes a statement here that's so powerful that, I think I have missed it for years, and I'm just now beginning to see what he's talking about here. But here in John chapter 5, verse 41, he said, I receive not honor from men. Now that seems strange. What's he saying? I'm not looking. My self-worth, my dignity and honor, the glory and honor I've been created doesn't come from man. I'm not looking for any man to justify who I am. Verse 44. How can you believe which receive honor of one of another and seek not the honor? Notice this, that comes from God only. If I'm looking to define myself in any other way than what God says about me, then I'm going to miss it. Amen. That's the only way. The only way I can define myself is to know what God says about me. The Message Bible says in verse 41, I'm not interested in crowd approval. Woo. Verse 44, he said, how do you expect to get anywhere with God when you spend all your time jockeying for position with each other, ranking your rivals and ignoring God? The voice here in verse 44 says, that's why it's hard to see how true faith is even possible for you. You're consumed by the approval of other men, longing to look good in their eyes, yet you disregard the approval of the one true God. Whew. Amen. Now, I'm glad Jesus said that. I didn't say that. Jesus said that. But you ready for some good news tonight? Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Come on now, you know God. You know God's not going to leave us. We're too valuable to him to leave us in that state that Adam was in when he sinned. We're too valuable. You're too valuable to him to leave you there, to not have a plan to bring you back and get you back into his family, back in so you've got that life on the inside of you so that you are accepted. You are beloved. You are a child of God. Now, I'm going to read this from some different translations, starting in verse 3. Ephesians 1, verse 3. And we're going to read it in a few different translations here, down through verse 14, all right? First of all, the voice says this, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Anointed One, who grants us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms where we live in the Anointed, not because anything we have done, but because of what he has done for us. My self-worth is not based on anything that I have ever done, ever will do, ever can do. It's based on what he has already done. Whoo, glory to God. If man didn't do anything to get crowned with dignity and worth, you can't do anything to get it back. God has to do it. He gave it in the first place. He's restoring it in our day. good news, folks. Now let's keep reading. God chose us to be in a relationship with him even before he laid out plans for this world. He wanted us to live holy lives, characterized by love, free from sin and blameless before him. He destined us to be adopted as children through the covenant Jesus the Anointed inaugurated in his sacrificial life. This was his pleasure and his will for us. Ultimately, God is the one worthy of praise for showing us his grace. He is merciful and marvelous, freely giving us these gifts in his beloved. Visualize this, his blood freely flowing down the cross, setting us free. We are forgiven for our sinful ways by the richness of his grace, which he has poured all over us with all wisdom and insight. He has enlightened us to the great mystery of the center of his will. With immense pleasure, he laid out his intention through Jesus, a plan that will climax when the time is right as he returns to create order and unity, both in heaven and on earth. Heaven and on earth, when all things are brought together under the anointed's royal rule, in him we stand to inherit even more as his heirs. We are predestined to play a key role in his unfolding purpose that is energizing everything to conform to his will. As a result, the first to place our hope in the anointed one, we live in a way to bring him glory and praise. Because you too have heard the word of truth, the good news of your salvation, and because you believed in the one who is truth, your lives are marked with his seal. There's none other than the Holy Spirit. This is none other than the Holy Spirit who was promised as the guarantee toward the inheritance we are to receive when he frees and rescues all who belong to him. To God be all praise and glory. Hallelujah. Listen to this from the Passion translation. Hallelujah. You know, if you just learn how to read scripture, you can preach good. These are good sermons right here. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm has already been lavished upon us as a love gift from our wonderful heavenly Father. See, what are we doing? We're reading about who we really are. This is the definition of you and I right here. The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. All because he sees us wrapped into Christ. This is why we celebrate him with all of our hearts. He chose us to be his very own, joining us to himself even before he laid the foundation of the universe. Because of his great love, he ordained us that we should be seen as holy in his eyes with an unstained innocence. For it was always in his perfect plan to adopt us as his delightful children through our union with Jesus, the anointed one, so that his tremendous love that cascades over us would glorify his grace. For the same love he has for his beloved one, Jesus, he has for us. And this unfolding plan brings him great pleasure. Since we are now joined to Christ, we have been given the treasures of the redemption by his blood, the total cancellation of our sins, all because of the cascading riches of his grace. Hallelujah. This superabundant grace is already powerfully working in us, releasing within us all forms of wisdom and practical understanding. And through the revelation of the Anointed One, he unveiled his secret desire to us, the hidden mystery of his long-range plan, which he was delighted to implement from the very beginning of the time. And because of God's unfailing purpose, this detailed plan will reign supreme through every period of time until the fulfillment of all the ages finally reaches its climax when God makes all things new in all of heaven and earth through Jesus Christ. Through our union with Christ, we too have been claimed by God as his own inheritance. Before we were even born, he gave us our destiny that we would fulfill the plan of God, who always accomplishes every purpose and plan in his heart. God's purpose was that we, Jews, who were first along for the messianic hope, would be the first to believe in the Anointed One and bring great praise and glory to God. And because of him, when you who were not Jews heard the revelation of truth, you believed in the wonderful news of salvation. Now we have been stamped with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. He's given to us like an engagement ring. It is given to a bride as the first installment of what's coming. He is our hope, promise of a future inheritance which seals us until we have all the redemption's promises and experience complete freedom, all for the supreme glory and honor of God. Hallelujah. I got one more of the Message Bible. How blessed is God, and what a blessing he is. He's the Father of our Master, Jesus Christ, and takes us to the high places of blessing in Him. Long before He laid down earth's foundation, He had us in mind, had settled on us as the focus of His love, to be made whole and holy by His love. Long, long ago, He decided to adopt us into His family through Jesus Christ. What pleasure He took in planning this. He wanted us to enter into the celebration of His lavish gift-giving by the hand of His beloved Son. Because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, His blood poured out on the altar of the cross. We're free people, free of penalties and punishments chalked up by all our misdeeds. And not just barely free, either abundantly free. He thought of everything, provided for everything we could possibly need. Letting us in on His plans, He took such delight in making. He set it all out before us in Christ, a long-range plan in which everything would be brought together and summed up in Him. Everything in deepest heaven, everything on planet Earth. It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we're living for. It's in Christ. In Christ that we find out who we are and what we're living for. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. That old performance-based self-worth has passed away. And all things have become new. And all things are of God. And whatever God has said we are, that's who you are. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, He had His eye on us, had designs on us for glorious living. Part of the overall purpose He's working out in everything and everyone. It is in Christ that you, once you heard of the truth and believed it, the message of your salvation, found yourselves home free, signed, sealed, and delivered by the Holy Spirit. This signet from God is the first installment of what's coming, a reminder that we'll get everything God has planned for us, a praising and glorious life. Hallelujah. Everything God has promised us. Everything, the Holy Spirit, the mighty Holy Ghost, the third member of the Godhead is in us and He's upon us. And this is just a down payment of what's to come. Now, see, I don't know, how can you think like that? How can you believe that and constantly remind yourself and preach yourself that and be depressed? See, here's what's happening. We're not finding out who we are from the Word. We're letting something else define us, folks. I'm telling you tonight, you don't have to let anything else define you. You don't have to let your job. You don't have to let your salary. You don't have to let the kind of car you drive. You don't have to let how many friends you do or don't have on Facebook, how many followers you got on Instagram or don't have on Instagram or don't even know what Instagram is. Amen. Success is not based on performance. Success is knowing who you are in Christ and participating with Him. I didn't have this on my list, but I want to finish with this tonight. Philemon. That's how I've always heard it said. We might get to heaven and he'll say, "My name is Philemon." Well, I'm sorry, Philemon. If he says that, I'm going to say my name in Portuguese. Well, just call me Taji. All right. Paul's writing here to Philemon. And he says in verse 6, that the communication of your faith may become effectual. See, we're faith people. We believe in God, but it seems like we're not connecting sometimes. It seems we're saying, "I'm saying it, brother. I'm saying it. I'm doing it. But nothing's happening. Why? Because, again, we're basing it on our performance when he says that the communication of your faith may become effectual. How many of you want to have effectual faith? How do we do that? By the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Woo, glory to God. When I start acknowledging that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ, that I'm adopted, that I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, that I can just go through, man, get you out that in him book, start writing every one of those things out. That's who I am. I'm telling you, this is me right here. Whatever the Bible says, I'm more than a conqueror through Christ who strengthened and through him who loved me. Hallelujah. All these things, Bible-based, not worldly-based, Bible-based. Why? Because the Word of God is true. It never changes. It never changes. This world's idea of self-worth, this world's idea of what's... It's always changing. Always changing. Why? Because you can never meet that standard. And really, why would you? It's a low standard. God's ways are higher than our ways. His standard's higher than ours. He's bringing us up to his level. In him. Every good thing which is in you. And I'm telling you, every one of you in here that calls on the name of God, name of Jesus, every one of you, there's good things in you. There's good things in you. Sometimes you just got to look in the mirror. Sometimes say, there's good things in that person right there. And then you realize, well, I'm talking to me. There's good things in me. You need to have one of those chats with me, myself, and I. And say, look, me. That's what the Bible says. Look, myself. Here's what the Bible says I am. And if the Bible says it, it must be true. Because God's word is truth. And it never changes. And there's good things in you. Start acknowledging it. Start acknowledging it. Forget, when you start acknowledging the good things in you, the past is going to just fall off. All those thoughts. God's not bringing it to your mind. All the past, anything you've ever felt, it's just going to fall off of you. Because there's not room for it. There's not room. When you're acknowledging all the good that's in you in Christ, because you're in Christ. Now don't forget the in Christ part. But you're in Christ, aren't you? You're born again tonight? You're in Christ then. Then all that good's in you. It's in me. Glory to God. I can't help but just bring good things out because I got good things in me. Glory to God. There's good in there. It's of God. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. Amen, amen, amen. Now, I preached it to you tonight. I double dog dare you to preach it to yourself tomorrow. When you get up, or maybe before you go to bed tonight, preach it to yourself. When you get up in the morning, preach it to yourself again. When you're in the middle of the day and nothing's going right, it doesn't seem like, preach it to yourself again. Amen. Preach this. This is a 365-part lesson, one for every day. You can preach the same sermon. And we just barely scratched the scriptures that relate to it. You have been created to carry the dignity and the worth of God, the glory and the honor that comes from God. He's crowned us with it. Now, God, when God crowns you, he just doesn't put something on your head. He envelops you with it. We're crowned with it. That's you, Christian. That's you, child of God. That's you, daughter of God. That's you, son of God. You're crowned with it. See, Jesus said, Father, the glory that you've given me, I have given them. Hallelujah. That life is in us. That life is in us right now. The life of God that God originally created us to have, that life is back inside man. That's what Jesus came to get, that life in us. Because once that life's in you, then all the other things are going to happen. Because what? He's going to bring it to pass. Didn't he say in Ephesians 1 that the culmination of the climax of everything comes together? Jesus is going to bring it all together. And you're going to be there. And I'm going to be there. And all the saints of God that have gone before us are going to be there. All that are yet to come, we're going to be there. Hallelujah. But we walk in it now by the acknowledging of all the good things that are in us in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you and praise you tonight. We give you glory and we give you honor tonight, Father. Oh, Father, I pray that if there's someone here tonight that's been struggling, the devil's trying to talk them out of their life. Circumstances trying to talk them out of their life. They go to work and no one's satisfied. They're not getting any pats on the back there. They're struggling in life. Things are happening. But oh God, let what's on the inside of them rise up and live big within them. the mighty Holy Ghost, who's the down payment, the very engagement ring of all the good things that are to come. The promise. There's good inside of them. There's good inside of each one, Father. There's good inside of them. Just this last month, I was in Brazil with 800 ministers. And I taught a little bit of this, just a little bit, not near what, I just touched on it a little bit. And I asked that group of ministers, I said, if you're here tonight and you've been struggling, you're ready to quit, and I mean quit ultimately, you've thought about killing yourself, you thought about getting out of the game, you thought about getting out of the ministry altogether, you thought about ending it all in one way or another. I told them I had good news for them tonight. Their freedom was there for them. Listen, Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord was upon me. He said, because he's anointed me to heal the brokenhearted. You got a broken heart here tonight? The healing power of God's here to minister to you. I asked him, if you're here, I just want you to stand up. I didn't want him to come. I said, just stand up. One brave lady over here on my right, she stood up. I said, well, there's our first person that's willing to say, acknowledge the truth tonight and be honest with themselves and before God and before all of us who love you. And they stood up all over that congregation, ministers. Falling into the trap of defining their self-worth based on their ministry, based on their marriage, based on their children, based on some outside thing. So much that they're ready to quit. Some even ready to take their own lives over. You might be here tonight. I told them, I said, we're here, we love one another. I said, I didn't even have them bow their heads or close their eyes because they're all part of the same ministry, part of the same family. And I'm telling you, the power of God. The power of God came into that place. We had one lady that testified the next day. She was a missionary. She testified, she said, you know, everybody's been asking me, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? She said, last night, I became a new person. God has set me free. You could tell, she looked totally different. Her countenance had changed. Something had happened to her. Because the power of God, the same power, is here tonight. I do want you to bow your heads. I do want you, I'm not going to ask anybody to come up here. But bow your heads, close your eyes. I don't want anybody looking around. Not even ushers, nobody else looking around. If you're here tonight and you've thought about that, you're dealing with those thoughts, I just want you to raise your hand right now. Listen, Jesus is anointed to heal the brokenhearted. Yes, yes, his hand's going up all over. Yes, thank you, thank you. I want us all to stand. Hallelujah. I'm not going to pray for you. I'm not going to lay hands on you. I'm not going to lay hands on you. I'm going to speak to you. The Bible says Jesus, that he spoke the word. He sent his word and healed them. That healing that you need is from the word. But right now, in the name of Jesus, I break the power of that assignment against you. You're free in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let's just all lift our hands and thank God for it. Father, if you raise your hand before, you better just raise them up now. Hallelujah. 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 I'm free in Jesus' name. I'm free in the name of Jesus. We're free. We're free in Jesus' name. You are what the Word of God says you are. You are His child. You've been made a king and a priest unto God. You're seated at the right hand of God in Christ, in the place of dominion and authority. And God has given you His name, the name that's above every name, the name of Jesus, to rule and reign by His grace in this life. as a king and as a queen in this life. But it's as a king that he states it. We don't have to make it a gender issue. You are in the place. You're going to have to take care of your thought life. You're going to have to take care of your thought life and arrest any thought that says that you're less than what the Word of God says you are. Amen? You say, well, I don't really know. I don't really know what the Word of God says. That's why you need to be here. You need to be in church. You need to be in school of the Bible. You need to be getting these books and reading them that this ministry has produced, because that's what they taught us, who we are in Christ, what we have in Him, because that's what's in the Word of God. Amen. Prayer team, go ahead and come on down here. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm a little bit longer than I wanted to tonight, but that's all right. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So if you're here, when we dismiss in just a minute, if you need prayer for anything else, come on down here, ladies with the ladies, men with the men. They'll pray with you according to the Word of God, because that's where answers are found, right? Hallelujah. First-time guests with our connection team, we'll go find our first-time guests. Thank you for being here tonight. Praise the Lord. We all, as Pastor Bill said, you want to be here. Pastor, Mrs. Hagen are here on Sunday morning, and then they'll be here again this Wednesday night. Also, this Sunday night, right? What day is this? Is this Sunday? Sunday night. But he'll be in the pulpit on Sunday night. Praise the Lord. And so don't forget all the announcements. If you need to sign up for the men's conference out in the north lobby, if you need to sign up to help at the Harvest Carnival, you can do that in the east lobby, I believe. If not, you can do it in the morning or on Sunday mornings for that. We good? Everything covered? Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Shake hands with two or three people. Tell them there's good things inside of you, and you can be dismissed. Amen.